Hello and welcome to Press TV's The Debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, 34 years is a long time for a government that powerful countries of the time said wouldn't last more than 6 months. Well, more than three decades later, the name of the Islamic Republic is mentioned all over the world, and Iran is regularly talked about by both friends and foe. Well, stay with us on The Debate as we look at the victory of the revolution of the Islamic Republic and exactly what it has meant more than 30 years after the fact.
Iran marks the 34th anniversary of the 1979 Islamic Revolution. Over three decades ago, the U.S.-backed dictatorial regime of Mohammad Reza Pahlavi was toppled by the Iranian nation under the leadership of Imam Khomeini. Since then, massive nationwide rallies have been held annually to celebrate this day, despite the fact that the Iranian nation has constantly been subjected to pressure campaigns in the form of sanctions and other tactics by Western countries and their allies. Iran came under attack by the former Western-backed regime of Saddam Hussein immediately after the Islamic Revolution. The Western-backed war lasted for 8 years and became one of the bloodiest conflicts of the 20th century. It cost a million lives on both sides. The US and Europe lent their all-out support to Saddam Hussein and even provided him with chemical weapons to be used against Iranian soldiers. As if all that was not enough, Washington funded the terrorist Mujahideen Khalq organization, also known as the MKO, to run a campaign of terror and assassination against the Iranian nation. The group carried out numerous attacks of violence against Iranian civilians and government officials alike. Also, the United States slapped sanctions against Iran. Washington and its allies accused Tehran of intending to build nuclear weapons and, based on that claim, target Iran's economy and impose all sorts of harsh sanctions on the country's banking, trade and industry. Despite all these, the Iranian nation has managed to weather all the pressure for over three decades now. In fact, all those restrictions seem to have failed to derail the Iranian nation from its path to progress. And it's not only that, Iranians have had numerous achievements in defense, science, and technology. On the political front, Iran has turned into a key player in the region and international politics. Iran's Islamic Revolution gave revolutionary ideas to Muslims in other countries and drove them to topple some puppet regimes and destabilize others. Experts draw a parallel between what we saw in Tunisia, Egypt and Yemen to the Islamic Revolution in Iran and the wave of Islamic awakening that has swept through the Middle East and North Africa in recent years.
Well, I'd like to welcome my guest to the program right here in Tehran in the studio, out from Washington, D.C., Imam of Masjid al-Islam in Washington, D.C., Mr. Abdul Alim Musa. And out of Washington, from the Hill newspaper, Mr. Brent Badowski. And out of Islamabad, Sayed Tariq Pirzadeh, strategic affairs analyst. Thank you all for being with us. Well, I'd like to address this first question right here in the studios in Tehran to Imam Musa. Has the victory of the Islamic Revolution really made a difference in the world?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First, I would like to congratulate the people of the Islamic Republic of Iran for 34 years of struggle, 34 years of sincerity, 34 years of following good leadership. 34 years, as I remember, once we celebrated the third anniversary of the Islamic Republic, we were so happy. It was unbelievable that this is the third anniversary. Because the war had already started, the imposed war. We were moving into presidents and prime ministers had already been martyred. Ayatollah Behesti had been martyred. We had the 7th of Tir, where the Rahbar himself had been injured. Within the first 3 years, the Islamic Republic had suffered more tragedies than any country that I have read about in world history, and it still survives. So I would like to congratulate the people of Iran for 34 years of exemplarhood, of being a good example to people all over the world, and telling people that if you follow good leadership, you hold on to your belief, all of you can follow the same principle.
And okay, Imam Musa, I'm going to get back to you with that original question. Let me get our other guests in on this, and I will get back to you on that original question. But let's turn now to Washington, Mr. Budowski. When looking at the recent revolutions, we look at Tunisia, Egypt, Yemen, and the difficulties that the people are having there in getting their revolutions on track. Now, we put that in the same setting with Iran 34 years ago. 2 years after its victory, it was already involved in an imposed war on top of trying to get the revolutionary infrastructure and everything going. Does it say anything about the strength of that Islamic revolution, that from the very beginning they were able to sustain with all this pressure that they had on them?
Well, I think people in Iran and all over the world are engaging in a process of more democracy, more freedom, more hope, and peace. And yes, it said something that the Shah was thrown out. It said something that Iran has gone 34 years. I hope the next 34 years bring more peace, more democracy, more prosperity, and a kind of coexistence with all of her neighbors, just like I hope the United States has a coexistence with Iran and all of our neighbors and the countries around the world. I was a big supporter and remain a big supporter of the young people at Tahrir Square all over the region. I wrote a column in The Hill, just The Hill newspaper, at thehill.com, read by everybody in Washington just this last Thursday, where, among other things, my title was Mideast War and Peace, and I called for all of the developed countries and China and Russia, the United States and Europe, to put together a major, major plan to lift the economies of all of the countries in the Middle East that reach peace agreements with each other, so we can spend all of our efforts and money and manpower and energy to making life better for people, from Jerusalem to Tehran to Amman to Cairo, to really find a way that all of these Arab Spring movements coming together can bring peace and a better life. We need to find a way in all of these countries to stop hating each other and start helping each other, and at a minimum, to make life better, particularly for the young people and the women who are at the core of the Arab Spring. So I hope and pray that Iran in the next 34 years, in the next 34 weeks, can play an even bigger role to that constructive effort to seek accommodations and peace rather than war and hatred.
Okay. Well, turning to Islamabad and Sayed Pirzadeh, when thinking about the situation that existed in the world in 1979 and looking back at what the Iranians accomplished, do you consider what they did then exceptional, something exceptional or not?
It was exceptional. I mean, overthrowing an empire that existed for a kingship that existed for 2,500 years, and there was a time when Shah used to believe that the kingship would never end, and certainly we saw a process starting in Iran against the tyranny of Shah, and that was, and this is something, this tyranny of Shah was a known fact all over the world, and even the people in the United States believed that Shah's atrocities have crossed the limit. So yes, it was an exceptional thing in the sense that a kingship of 2,500 years, and of course the kingship of the Aryamehr dynasty of the last of the 40, 50 years was certainly overthrown, and the Iranian peoples did it on their own. Number one, this is very important. The Iranian people overthrew Shah on their own without colonial powers' support. This is a very important point, which not many people make, but I am making it today. Number two, it was exceptional in the sense that the revolution happened at a time when the entire Middle East and the Muslim world, for the most part, I would say 95% of them, were living under the tyranny of dictatorships and one-man rule. So that was a very exceptional thing against that background. So yes, I do agree with you that at that time, bringing about a revolution was not an easy task, and the makers of the revolution did it.
All right, well, turning back to Tehran and Imam Musa, back to that original question, do you think that the victory of the Islamic revolution in Iran has made a difference in the world?
Not only a difference, it's called a paradigm shift. A paradigm is a measuring stick by which people judge and categorize things. The Islamic Republic of Iran has been and continues to be a paradigm shift in the world today, in that it is an independent country. In fact, isolation sanctions have helped Iran because look at its industry, it's independent. If you look at who has a weapons industry like the Islamic Republic of Iran in the developing world? Who is dealing with their own automobiles, their own transportation systems? All of the other countries in the world today are in debt to the West and dependent on the West. But the Islamic Republic of Iran is independent because it have followed two main principles. They followed the guidance of good leadership, Velayat-e Faqih, and they have supported and held on strongly to their faith in Islam. And that has allowed them to overcome every challenge, and they've turned challenges into opportunities. They've turned problems into solutions. So we think the Islamic Republic of Iran, not only I feel this, but people where I travel in the world feel that it is a good example. If you want to be independent, follow the pattern and the discipline laid down within the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Okay, well, let's turn to Washington again and Mr. Bodosky. Now, when thinking about the situation in general as far as relations in the last 34 years, we know from the very beginning, basically, Tehran and Washington has been on opposite sides of the fence. Why is this? First question. Second of all, we know that there have been suggestions now to have talks, and I want to expand on that also. First, the why, sir.
Well, I think that the Middle East is full of cultures, both religious, political, and civic, that are different cultures. It's hard. There are obvious differences between the United States and the Western world, and Iran and other countries in the Middle East. What I want to say about the future, and I think this is the most important thing that I can say right now, President Obama will soon announce an international arms control effort done through and with the United Nations and other countries. It's not secret, but the media hasn't yet focused on it, but you'll be reading about that a lot. The nuclear issues between Iran and the United States are just one part of a bigger nuclear problem, where we've got thousands and tens of thousands of weapons between Russia, China, the United States, aimed at each other. When I worked in the government, I would get secret briefings about the end of the world in the days of the Soviet Empire, about what would happen if the United States and Russia destroyed each other with nuclear weapons and destroyed the world. I know what that's like, to be told, here's how you could die. Right now, today, I would hope that as President Obama begins a more worldwide effort at arms control, that the differences between the United States and Iran can be negotiated and solved and addressed in a way that both countries are satisfied. And again, like I said earlier about the Arab Spring, where all of these governments around the world, including the United States and including Iran and including everyone else, can spend our money to help the poor, the jobless, the women, the children, and not spend our money on planning how to kill each other and destroy each other. So I
Mr. Bodosky, let me just jump in here, because you talked about
all around the world, but right. Also for
Mr. Bodosky, sure. you just talked about as far as hoping that relations will improve between Iran and the United States. One thing I want to look at is the United States ready, willing, and able to respect the sovereignty of the Islamic Republic as an independent country?
Absolutely, yes. And my view is that if an agreement is reached and can be reached, I believe it can be reached, to deal with the nuclear issues that right now divide us, I believe the sanctions would be lifted immediately. Whatever one thinks of them, they would be lifted immediately. And this is, again, part of a nuclear problem that involves Russia, China, the United States, and everyone else.
Okay.
But, yeah, absolutely.
All right, let me turn to Islamabad.
If Iran and the U.S. agreed on the nuclear issue, There's no question about it.
Sayed Pirzadeh, your take on that same question. Has this situation between Washington and Tehran, is it really related to the nuclear issue, or is it related to Iran wanting to be an independent country?
Well, let me say honestly that had it been only the nuclear issue, then United States and Iran would have reached a rapport and a rapprochement, and a great deal of understanding long before the current nuclear issue arose and the West seized on that. So there are two things that I do want to emphasize. Nuclear issue is one side. The rise of Iran in the region as a power, economic power, conventional power, which is a natural thing for any rising country to achieve, is something that is not acceptable to Washington. Washington was so much used to the idea of having a subservient state in Iran, in Tehran, a government in Tehran, that they just cannot believe that a country has suddenly risen to the point where they will have to deal with that same country on an equal level, on an equal footing. And number three, look, Iran has a role to play in the Persian Gulf and the Middle East and in the Indian Ocean. And I keep emphasizing that the rising power and newer naval power of India, which is a strategic partner of the United States, is a major threat. And not many people are thinking on that line. But coming back to Washington again, the reality is this, that even if the nuclear issues goes, the sanctions may be lifted partially, but the acceptance by Washington of Tehran as an equal partner is not going to happen. Washington would like to see the removal of the religious, hierarchy in Tehran.
Imam Musa, your take on that, because we've seen sanction after sanction, actually just a couple of days ago, after Joe Biden had given that suggestion of talks, we saw more sanctions being implemented on Iran. So our other guests were talking about if it really is about the nuclear situation. Is it that Washington does not want to see Iran advance? Is it that basically they still cannot accept Iran being an independent and sovereign nation?
Well, America has a problem. Number one, that it calls itself a democracy, but it's more like a hypocrisy. It's ruled by not Democrats, but by hypocrites. So the United States says one thing out of one end of its mouth, and then we turn around and we have sanctions in another. But one thing I would like the audience to be aware of, first of all, God's hand is over the Islamic Republic of Iran. And the United States drive to destroy Iran. In many cases, the United States have helped solidify Iran's position in the region. I'll give you two examples. In Afghanistan, there were Iranian diplomats in the late 90s that were martyred, 12, and it was by these Taliban and Mazar Sharif. But instead of Iran have to deal with the Taliban, the United States came in and destroyed their own puppet, their own creation. If we look at Saddam Hussein, the imposed war, the Islamic Republic didn't have to face down Saddam. The United States went and destroyed and debilitated the enemy of the Islamic Republic of Iran. So the madness of the policy of the United States of America has actually helped solidify the Islamic Republic's stability in the region.
Okay, well, back to Washington and Mr. Budowski. Do you feel that the United States is actively involved in trying to impede Iran's progress? We've seen in all sectors, so many different sectors of the country. I want your take on that. Is it something that is done on purpose or not?
Well, at this moment, one might say it is being done on purpose because of the very strong differences between our two governments.
Okay, let me just jump in there.
I would say, if we're talking about
yeah. sovereign nations and each nation having the right to decide which direction their country is gone, what right then would the United States have in trying to impede the progress of another country just because it does not follow the policies that Washington like? Isn't that saying that basically then it does not respect this country as an independent country?
Well, yeah, there are two different issues here. And I will emphasize again, the United States, and I think I speak for just about everyone, even though I don't represent anyone here in the government, we have no problem, we meaning the American people in the U.S., with fully accepting the total sovereignty of the people of Iran. The imam is right that there are other issues in addition to the nuclear issue. But from our point of view right now, if you put yourself, for example, in the place of Israel, they feel threatened by nuclear weapons that could be aimed at them. There have been suggestions nuclear weapons from Iran theoretically could be aimed at us. The government of Iran says, and I'm perfectly willing to believe them, they don't want nuclear weapons. This is a different issue than sovereignty. This is an issue that affects our ally Israel, whether people like that or not, that's the truth, and I'm going to be honest on Press TV, and the United States. If we resolve that issue, the nuclear issue, in a way consistent with what the government of Iran has already said they want, which is not nuclear weapons, that would be a tremendous breakthrough in our ability to reset the relations. I've been through a lot in Washington when we had dictatorships all over the world, and what President Obama said recently is true. People that were once our enemies have become our friends. People that we once disagreed with have become countries we work with. That is certainly possible if we begin by solving the nuclear issue in a politically diplomatic way. We
All
do
right.
not
well, I'm
want
so
to
sorry.
Question the sovereignty
running.
Or existence
I'm
of
sorry.
Iran.
We're running
no one in the U.S. wants that.
Okay, running short out of time. But is there a difference? It seems to be, Mr. Radowski, that there may be a difference between the people and the government. But Mr. Said Pirzadeh, let's talk about now, because we only have a couple minutes left. How do you see the future of the Islamic Republic? Because we know that Iran has been under pressure 34 years, from assassinations to sanctions to so many different plots against it. And of course, in the last 12 months, even more pressure with the latest or the several rounds of sanctions. How do you see the future of the Islamic Republic? Will the Islamic Republic of Iran be able to sustain these plots and continue to grow?
Iran has to stay the course as far as the religious strength of Iran is concerned. They need to stick to their commitment to their ideology. Number one. Number two, and these are two different areas. Iran has to build a very strong, unshakable economy that can sustain the infrastructure of Iran, future progress of Iran, and send a message to the world that despite sanctions, we can grow, we can break the effect of sanctions, we can confront the effect of sanctions, and we can build a nation now without the support of the West. As soon as that message of economic growth goes out, the world will begin to respect more. Number three, politically speaking, Iran has to again follow a very sovereign power, line of foreign policy. If it does not, if it comes down to compromises, say the economic pressure stays for some time,
okay.
and the Iranian government begins to feel, let me just
so
simply sum it up.
Okay, I'm so sorry,
sure,
sir, but we are smack out of time. I appreciate everyone being with us right here in Tehran. Imam Abdul Ali Musim, as from the Masjid of Islam in Washington, D.C., out of Washington from the Hill newspaper, Mr. Brent Badowski, and out of Islamabad, strategic affairs analyst Sayed Tariq Pirzadeh. Appreciate all of you being with us. And, of course, viewers, always a pleasure to have you. Join us right here, same time, same place tomorrow for another Look at the Debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thanks so much for being with us, and goodbye.